brought to you by Oklahoma Men's Clinic, the leader in men's health and sexual wellness.
Rick and Brad Radio.
Showbiz News Time with Lauren, brought to you by Michener Fair and Jewelers.
We're your friendly neighborhood jewelry store.
There's no pressure here. We really like people.
Yes, we do.
We listen and show you options.
Michener Fair and Jewelers, Oklahoma's greatest diamond store.
Alec Baldwin has now officially been charged with a crime over the fatal shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on his Rust movie set. And the district attorney listed a litany of safety lapses, which she says sit squarely at Alec Baldwin's feet. According to the charging document, the DA says that Alec knew the drill, that the armorer should have been present checking the gun to make sure it was safe, and Baldwin knew that, yet he relied on the assistant director who had no authority to clear the weapon for use. She also says that Alec was supposed to undergo firearms training, but he did not do so. Adding, Baldwin was then supposed to get minimal training for 30 minutes, but was on his cell phone for most of that time speaking with his family.
Actually, what they said was it was that he didn't show up for the training for the cast and crew. So then they set up private training for him that was supposed to be for an hour, but he was on the phone with his family the whole time. And so it only lasted about 30 minutes, and they said he wasn't paying attention then. Not a good look, dude.
Not a good look at all. The DA honed in on TV interviews that Baldwin did where he claimed not to have fired the weapon, something that the FBI and prosecutors dispute. The DA states that there are multiple photos and video that clearly show he had his finger on the trigger. The district attorney went on to say that as the producer of the movie, he should have never allowed the production company to hire Hannah Gutierrez Reed, as she lacked requisite certifications and experience for the job. And the DA lays out the numerous safety lapses on the set at Baldwin's doorstep, saying that he did not address those issues, which even resulted in crew members walking off the set in protest. The district attorney also said that he violated the first rule of gun safety: never point a firearm, loaded or not, at another person. The district attorney says that Alec was in 40 films in which guns were an integral part, so he should have known all of these protocols.
Yeah, I mean, what you just said at the end there, I'm less persuaded by. But I will tell you, this is an instance where Alec Baldwin's persona might come back to haunt him. Because that thing about him not paying attention during the training, the thing about it is the golden rule of guns, that you never point a gun at anybody, loaded or unloaded, except he was in a movie, and that's what they do in movies. And the stat of how many movies he's been in where either he or someone else held a gun is irrelevant to me. But him not paying attention during the training is probably not going to sit well with a jury.
This is taking me back, and it's been over a year now, but I think it was Marc Maron that did an interview with George Clooney right after this happened and brought up the Alec Baldwin situation. And I remember Clooney kind of saying the same thing, like there's so much to him that Alec Baldwin did that doesn't make sense. Like, he said that it was insane, that, I mean, he would have never pointed a gun. He would have never had the assistant director be the one telling him what to do. And, I mean, he just kind of made it sound, you know, like common sense. And the fact that he didn't go through that training, I think, is very damning to him, or just doesn't make him look good.
Not at all.
And will not make him look good in front of a jury. It does sound like he did have some production responsibilities. I know we kind of talked about whether or not he was just getting the name of producer added to the movie, right? that he wasn't actually producing the movie, but I had always heard.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
From the start of this, that this was a passion project of his, and that he was involved in making this movie in more than just as an actor.
Well, I would think that if that is the case, then the prosecutors really want to highlight that during the course of their presentation and say, you know, this guy, this was his movie. This was his baby that he wanted to get made, and he didn't care enough about safety to be paying attention when he was being instructed on how the handguns were going to be handled on the set, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I still think he's getting a raw deal, but I feel like this is probably why the district attorney decided to pursue the charges, because they think they may have charges that they can make stick against him.
Yeah, I mean, it made a lot more sense after reading that charging document, for sure. Yesterday, Dr. Phil announced that the Dr. Phil Show will be coming to an end. He signed a deal that was good for 5 years back in 2018, and his syndication company has given networks the option to run previously taped episodes for the forthcoming 2023-24 season. He said in a statement that he has been blessed with over 25 wonderful years in daytime television. I'm sure he's including his time on the Oprah show before he had the Dr. Phil show as well. He said that he will soon share details on a strategic primetime partnership with CBS Media Ventures that will help him increase his impact on television and viewers. And that project is expected to launch next year. Do we want Dr. Phil on primetime? I don't understand.
I don't need any more Dr. Phil, but whatever. I mean, I assume there's an audience for him. That show was on for 20 years, so there's people that do like Dr. Phil, but he didn't do a whole lot for me.
Yeah, me either. One thing I did know that would excite you is that King of the Hill,
the
revival, is officially a go at Hulu, and you are subscribed to Hulu, right?
I am, that's right.
So there you go. Is that the only one you're subscribed to these days?
Well, I got the Hulu package with Disney and ESPN Plus, and then I got HBO, and right now I have Showtime. But I think that's it. I think I've purged everything else.
Are you going to do the Paramount Plus Showtime subscription when it starts?
They didn't announce any pricing on it, so it depends on how much it costs. I don't know. I don't watch that much on Showtime. I watched that George and Tammy thing, and then I will watch Yellow Jackets when it comes back. But I don't know if I will, because I just, it's not like HBO Max, where it's something that I watch stuff on all the time. I also still have Apple Plus.
Oh, yeah, there's a good show on Apple right now, too, that Harrison Ford and Jason Segel
show.
Good? Did you watch any of that? I liked it, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of it. Some friends of mine are watching the show with Bono's kid in it. Bad Girls? Bad Daughters? Something.
Oh, that was one of my favorites, yeah. I thought that was one of the better shows on Apple last year. This new show with Jason Segel and Harrison Ford is called Shrinking, and it's from the producers of Ted Lasso. So it kind of has like a lighthearted, funny aspect to it.
I heard it
even
was
though
pretty
it's
good.
Kind of dramatic.
I'll probably give it a go. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So King of the Hill is officially getting the reboot treatment at Hulu.
And everybody's coming back. Like
yeah,
the whole
everybody.
Cast. Except for, obviously, Brittany Murphy, who died, and there was no word on what they were going to do about that, because I assume that it's not going to move forward in time. It's still going to be the same era in Arlen, Texas, as previously, because Pamela Adlon's going to be back as Bobby Hill. So they're going to have to deal with it somehow. She's either going to have to move away, or they're going to have to find somebody else to play her.
Yeah. I'm sure. Surely they'll have her, like, move away or something. It doesn't say exactly when it's coming out. Did you get a date? In the article that I have, it doesn't say.
No, it just said it's officially a go and that it was signed straight to series. That there was no, like, they didn't want any, they didn't need any test episodes, whatever. So I'm super excited about it. I can't wait. I love it.
Yeah, that'll
show.
Be awesome. Showtime has canceled the Dexter sequel series, Dexter New Blood, after one season. I thought that was pretty good. It had the most viewers during its premiere. And I guess Showtime apparently has its eye on the past and not the future, because now they're thinking about doing a prequel, a Dexter prequel series with a younger version of Dexter.
I don't know.
So I'm guessing Michael C. Hall wouldn't be in it.
Isn't part of the reason it works so well because Michael C. Hall, and we've seen a lot of, I mean, we didn't see him start to become who he became, but we saw him as a kid with his dad. And I don't know if that is the guy that played his dad still alive. That guy that was in Sex and the City. For some reason I thought he died too. And so it's not like you can have him be around as the dad. I don't know.
Yeah,
because
he wasn't in the sequel series either. And they did have some flashbacks and stuff where he could have been in those. And they couldn't because the guy had passed away. I think we've gotten all we need to out of Dexter. I'm glad they didn't do a second season of this because I thought it wrapped up.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Perfectly, especially if you were somebody that was unhappy with the original Dexter series finale that aired, God, 10 years ago.
Right.
Now, we hated that season.
Hated.
I thought this redeemed it. So it's like, just end it right there. You don't have to keep going. We don't need to know anything else about Dexter. And I think we do know enough about Dexter's childhood for sure. Bad Boys 4 is officially happening. Are you excited about that?
I saw the first one when it came out in theaters and liked it. I maybe saw the second one, but I definitely did not see the third one.
Will Smith posted a video where he drives to Martin Lawrence's house to tell him it's on. Then they have a funny exchange where they realize that the third movie was called Bad Boys for Life, which would have been a better title for this one. That came out in 2020. The original Bad Boys came out in 1995, and Bad Boys 2 was released in 2003.
Wow.
Looks like Will Smith is just making a comeback, you know?
Well, he's just trying to find any projects that you would be crazy not to agree to and just try and find his way through the door. I cannot believe that first movie came out almost 30 years ago. That's crazy.
Really crazy. And the second one coming out in 2003.
Right. Yeah.
It's nuts. Okay, let's take a break. Come back with part two of Showbiz News. Willie Nelson, in a new interview, talked about how marijuana saved his life. And we've got a clip of him talking about it. Paul Rudd gave his secret to eternal youth in a new interview. If you've ever wondered why does it look like Paul Rudd hasn't aged a single day in his life, he has the answer to that. I don't know if I'm happy with this answer, but he gave an answer. So we'll get into all of that stuff in part two.
Rick and Brad.
The Cat.
Yesterday, Damar Hamlin kickstarted a campaign to spread CPR awareness and training following his on-field medical scare earlier this month. He is teaming up with the American Heart Association to create the Three for Heart Challenge. The three things are, Damar wants everyone to learn hands-only CPR. That's step one. Step two is donate to the American Heart Association to fund CPR awareness and education. Step two. And then step three is challenge three people to do the same. He started the challenge by calling out Tom Brady, LeBron James, and Michelle Obama to get involved.
That's a pretty random threesome.
Yeah, but they're all people that definitely have a lot of social media
followers. I think it's a smart
influence.
Play. And Damar Hamlin, I mean, nobody knew who Damar Hamlin was 3 months ago outside of Buffalo, and now The fact that you could call out LeBron, Tom Brady, and Michelle Obama and actually get them to respond is a pretty big deal.
And if they don't respond, it'll look pretty bad,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's pretty smart of the American Heart Association, though, to
absolutely
jump on this. Yeah. And a good thing to be aware of, CPR. I Googled how to do it after watching that happen.
It's not,
you already know CPR, right?
It's not that hard to learn how to do it. I think it would be really, really hard to actually do it, if that makes sense.
So yeah.
In the
I kind of wondered, like, am I strong enough to even do this?
In the training, you're only doing it for a minute or two during the course of your training. To actually have to do it and think that you're going to have to do it for 20 minutes to try and keep somebody alive would be a little intimidating. But yeah, it's
hopefully
absolutely
adrenaline
something
would kick in when you're trying to keep somebody alive.
It's absolutely something that people need to know how to do.
For sure. Paul Rudd has finally revealed a secret to his eternal youth in an interview with Men's Health magazine. He said 8 hours of sleep is the secret.
And so you don't like this, why?
Well, I like that part, but then he goes on to say, then diet, then weights, then cardio.
Oh. See, I didn't read that part.
The most
all I saw
important
was the headline
part of
that said
training
8 hours.
Sleep. Yeah, he said, the most important part of training is sleep. People will set their alarm and then sleep for 4 hours, and they'll get up early so they can train. They're doing themselves a disservice. He says he gets up, has a cup of coffee, and then does cardio before he eats anything. I got to eat first. I cannot do cardio. Really, in the morning at all. But then I could not eat and then have to go do cardio first.
I know a lot of people that do, but I cannot imagine just popping up and right away wanting to go work out.
No, it sounds awful.
Like
completely
I,
awful.
And this is not good either, but I want to work out the very last thing that I do for the day. Like I'm going to work out, I'm going to grab a shower, and then I want to be done for the day. But it doesn't really work that way because you get going and then it's hard to go to sleep. So it's not good to work out late in the day like that. But that would be my preference.
I like to do it in like the early afternoon.
I think these people that get up at like 4 a.m. and go to the gym are psychopaths.
Total psychopaths.
I mean, good on you
maybe
for being able to do
killers.
It. But I can't get it at all.
No, so weird. He also says that he lifts weights 3 times a week. He eats eggs every day, a lot of salmon, and drinks protein shakes that are just protein and water and no fruit.
Well, la-di-da, Mr. Fancy Pants eating eggs every day.
Part of this was him talking about training for Ant-Man.
Right.
And then some of it is just his regular routine. I'm going to choose to believe he doesn't get up at 4 a.m. to go work out.
If I'm going to, if he did, that means he'd be going to bed at 8 p.m. if he's getting a full 8 hours of sleep.
True.
And he's got kids, so there's no way he's doing that. I will tell you this, though. If I was going to take that kind of advice from anybody, it'd probably be Paul Rudd, because the dude does look great for his age.
Yeah, I mean, he literally looks like he has not aged a single day. I mean, you could watch him in a movie 20 years ago and then watch him in a movie that just came out, and he looks like he's aged maybe a year tops, yeah, if he's aged at all. Willie Nelson also did an interview recently talking about his upcoming 90th birthday on April 29th and talked about how marijuana saved his life. Now, there's some advice I could take.
Well, it not only saved my life, it probably saved some other people's lives. Before I smoked marijuana, I was drinking a lot, and I might have killed a lot of people, too. So I'm just glad that didn't happen. I'm glad nobody killed me. I'm glad we lived through all those bad times.
Willie rocking out there.
Yeah. I thought that was just a music bed for a second, but I think he's just playing music in the background. He also says that he doesn't eat that much, that his wife cooks for him, and he'll eat an egg or two, a waffle, and he likes toast. He said he's managed to keep his weight down pretty good, and he doesn't really do anything that's bad for him anymore.
Willie was a big runner, too. I don't think he does anymore at 90. I think it'd be tough, but he was a big-time runner for years and years and years.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Like, did he do marathons and stuff?
I don't know if he did marathons, but he did distance running. I mean, that was always his workout. He started a big run in Austin, and like he would run when he was on tour and everything. So, I mean, the dude's healthier than you think. You don't get to be 90 and not be healthier than you think. But I do think he's got a point in that if he was drinking a lot and he continued to drink a lot through the course of his life, that probably over the long haul would have done way more damage to him than smoking weed did. And then he switched to vaping. He doesn't even smoke weed anymore. He vapes it. So that probably is even better for him.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay, that is it for Showbiz News today, Brad.
Thank you, Chronic.
Rick and Brad on Rock 100.5, The Cat.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series or bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.